Are you good? Isn't that a terrifying question? I once heard of a bishop in the church interviewing another clergy person for a post and asking by way of welcome and introduction, "How are you today?" Lulled into a false sense of security, the person replied, "I'm good, thanks." At which point the bishop exploded, "Good? Good? How can you say you're good? Only Jesus is good." True as this may be, I've always thought that this was a particularly mean way to start an interview. We hear today in our gospel reading, in Jesus' own words, "I am the good shepherd." But what does it mean to be a good shepherd? That word "good" can have a number of different interpretations. If I were referring to one of my son's teachers and said, "They're a good teacher," what might I mean? I might well mean that they are very proficient at their job, that they really know how to teach the children. The children have learnt well from their classes. But if I referred to one of my friends and said that they were a good person, would I similarly be saying somehow that they excelled at being a person? You should see how brilliant they are at being a person. Or perhaps I'm saying something different. Perhaps I'm trying to say something about their virtues and their values. Jesus is the good shepherd. Is that because he's the most proficient shepherd, or because he's the one who, by his love and passion for his sheep, shows us what it means to be good? The Greek word used, kalos, meaning beautiful, excellent, eminent, commendable, leaves open both possibilities. And I think by the rest of the passage we can see this too. Jesus talks of what it means to be the best kind of shepherd. Unlike those who were paid to come and help look after the sheep, the hired hands, the shepherd knows his sheep well and they know him. I was interested to learn how sheep grazing worked in those times. Although at night the sheep would be kept in a fold, during the day when grazing the sheep of several shepherds would mix as they found land to graze upon. But a skilled shepherd, with just one or two words shouted loudly to his sheep, could cause them to separate back out into their respective flocks and follow him. It wasn't unusual for shepherds to give names to their sheep, to know each by name. A shepherd who is good at their job stays with the sheep at night and stays with them, unlike the hired hand, even when danger looms. Jesus is a first responder. There's no doubt that Jesus is describing what it means to be one of the best types of shepherd. But there's one standout feature of what Jesus says. This reading is only 8 verses long, and yet it's mentioned a total of 5 times. "This is what it means to be a good shepherd," he says in verse 11. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And again in verse 15, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And again in verse 17, "I lay down my life in order to take it up again." And in verse 17, "I lay it down of my own accord." And finally, "I have power to lay it down." Perhaps we start to get the message by the 5th mention. Jesus is talking about his being willing to lay down his life for others, to lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus is talking about self-sacrifice and self-sacrificial love. There are at least 2 responses that I would suggest that Jesus' words should prompt in us today. The first is gratitude and thanks. For when we realise that we are the sheep that he was willing to die for, how can there be any other response? I asked at the beginning, "Are you good?" And the honest answer is that I'm sure that there are lots of ways each of us knows that we are not good. Thinking again of that interpretation of the Greek word, there are probably lots of ways in which we know we aren't beautiful, excellent, eminent, and commendable. Yet, we are his gathered sheep. He considers us beautiful, excellent, eminent and commendable. So much so that he is willing to die for us, such as his love for us. By his cross, He has made us beautiful, excellent, eminent, and commendable. Let's never lose the wonder of being in the fold of His care. But there's a second response alongside this thanks and wonder that comes from Jesus' modelling of how we should be. We are commissioned to do as He did, and this is challenging. Our lives as disciples of Jesus, as imitators of Him, are called to be self-sacrificial. It's not enough to simply embrace being wonderfully held in the sheepfold, for just as there are two meanings of the word good, we are saying two things when we describe ourselves as His people. Firstly, yes, we are loved, held, looked after, embraced, we belong to Him. But secondly, as His people, we are called to be like Him and to share in His mission. We are called to care about the well-being of all God's people. We cannot simply act like a hired hand, wearing the badge of care when it's convenient to us, but leaving it in a hurry when our own lives or our way of life may be in danger. And that care and mission calls us to look beyond our own fold. In verse 16, Jesus declares, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also." We must be careful not to define the boundaries of our sheepfold according to a number of self-invented characteristics that God isn't at all interested in. Perhaps the easiest mistake is to define the fold in terms of only those who resemble ourselves. So, are you good? It's still an awkward question, isn't it? So don't answer. But the good news, the beautiful news, is that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, names us, knows us, and cares for us as His own, even without asking this question, or perhaps even more importantly, even though He knows the answer. But that beautiful news compels us to do likewise, to give ourselves away, just as we will say later in this service, to be sent out as living sacrifices, and to look over the edges of the sheepfold we may know and be familiar with, to reach out to those who don't yet know how much they are loved by the one shepherd who cares for us all.